Galatians chapter number 3, and tonight we're looking at verses 26 through 29. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. I think you have to unhook. Justin, to get it. There we go. All right. Good? All right. Let's look at the text. Verse 26. Paul writes, "For ye are all the children of God." Not speaking to everyone, but speaking to those who are in the church that are saved by Christ. "For ye are all the children of God." How? "By faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, the heirs, according to the promise." And that's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful and thankful for the privilege tonight that you have given us to read your word. Now we ask you for your help in understanding it and properly dividing it, so that it will bring glory to your name and it would be a help to us in our walk with you. We ask that the Word of God would guide us into all truths and the Spirit of God would help us. And we'll be grateful and thankful if you would be pleased by our time together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray and for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we're coming to the end of chapter number 3 of the book of Galatians tonight, and Paul has a habit of front-loading things with doctrine, with indicatives, with statements of truth, and then in the back end, applying all that are telling us how we are to behave because those things that he has front-loaded are true. And so again, he does that in the book of Galatians. So we're sort of ending the section of doctrine and indicatives tonight. And from chapter 4 on, we're sort of looking at how all of this applies to the life of the believer. So we'll look at that next week, but we need to bring this to an end tonight. In the verses that precede the text that we are going to look at tonight, if you'll remember, Paul has stated that before Christ comes, before faith comes, we are confined under the law. And the law, he says, functions like a prison guard or like a schoolmaster. And the law restrains and disciplines and sentences us and guides us, but the law cannot give us salvation or give us an inheritance. Then Paul said, Christ came, and with Christ comes faith. Therefore, we who are in Christ no longer need a schoolmaster, and we are no longer in prison under the law. And after looking at what we're not imprisoned, we're not in need of a schoolmaster, we're not under the law in Christ. He begins tonight in the text here by looking at what we are. And he says we are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So what happens is that faith given to us by God to believe in Christ and His work for our salvation brings to everyone that believes radical changes in their life. So we want to look at that a little bit tonight as we end chapter number 3. Now, I guess there are numerous ways in which we can identify a person. We can try to describe them. We can try to paint a picture of how they appear, where they work, what they do. But I guess one of the ways in which, or the primary way in which we are identified is by our families. If I was going to try to identify Brian, I would probably say, well, you know Brian, that's David's son, and his sister is April, married to Carol, has two children, right? Will and Abby. So his identity is tied to his family, right? You know, when you hear obituaries read, it's about the identification with a family. Parents are listed and siblings and spouses and children. So much of who we are or who we are identified as comes through the persons of our family and who they consist of. And the way, Paul says, that a Christian knows who they are is by knowing who they belong to. I am who I belong to. Say amen. We belonged to Satan. In the prison house of sin, in bondage. But now we belong to God. And our identity is we are the children of God. Look at it with me in verse number 26. For ye are all, what? The children of God. You are the children of God. A believer is a child of God. A believer belongs to a family. Say amen. It's important that we understand who we are. In the context here of Paul's argument, if you are a child of Abraham, you are a child of God. Right? That's what he's arguing here. The children of Abraham are the children of God. And the two are the same. If you are a child of Abraham, you're a child of God. Right? But notice, it is those who are in Christ. By what? By faith. So, you are all the children of God. How are we the children of God? By faith that is placed in Jesus Christ. Not works, faith in Christ. So I think the highest status that we as humans could ever achieve is that we are a child of God. I don't think there's any higher place that we could be than be a child of the King, the child of God. And everything that God has to offer us comes to us by faith, including our adoption, right? So we are the children of God. We are in the family of God. We are adopted by God by faith, which means that no one can work their way into a family. No one can work their way into sonship. Say amen. It comes only by faith. And the only way to become a son and daughter of God, if you're not born into that family, is by adoption. And adoption is by the will of the Father. Say amen. When someone is adopted, the adoptee doesn't choose, the adopter chooses. And so it is by the will of the Father that we are adopted into His family. Never can it be gained by works. And the Father will adopt all who are in Jesus Christ by faith. And the only way that we can get into God's family is by personally trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. It is by putting our faith, God-given faith, in Christ that we are saved and added to the family of God. And our sonship is a privilege granted to those who put their trust in Christ. For ye all are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. He says here, not some of you, not most of you, but all of you. There is not one person who has trusted in Jesus Christ that is not a part of God's family. There's not one person who has placed God-given faith in Jesus Christ that is not adopted into God's family. Now notice the word here, children. Kendra, can you tell me something about children? Is that singular or plural? It is plural, which means there's more than one child. Say amen. You know, sometimes Christians act like they're their only spoiled child. Say amen. The word children is a plural noun, which means we have relatives. Say amen. We have brothers and sisters because if God is our Father, we have siblings, we have brothers and sisters because there are children of God, not a child of God. We have a Father, we have siblings, and we are all together God's family. Which means you have brothers and sisters that you have to consider. Say amen. This is not about you only. This is about the family. And we cannot operate as if we are the only child. We have to operate as a family. And there are brothers and sisters that God has given us to love, to care for, and to have relationships with. Say amen. For ye are all, every single one who has trusted in Jesus Christ, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It is a wonderful statement of absolute truth. Say amen. I stand here tonight, a child of my mother. But greater than that, I am a child of my Father, Jehovah. Say amen. And that is the greatest status I can have. Amen. Notice here in verse number 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, there are two things here, according to Paul, that will identify us as God's children or as part of God's family. Number one, we have been baptized into Christ. And we have what? Put on Christ. First thing, second thing. So, we have been placed in Christ by a supernatural work of God internally that is referred to as baptism, baptized into Christ, right? We have been placed in Christ. We have been put in union with Christ, not by works, not by a legal observance, but by a supernatural work of God. So what Paul is referring to, I believe, is this inward reality of a spiritual cleansing by faith and a spiritual union that we are placed in with Christ. I don't think it's simply an outward water baptism. I think it is what the outward water baptism signifies, an inward change, an inward reality. Say amen. So water baptism signifies that we are placed in Christ. But notice, we are baptized here into Christ. So Paul is speaking of a believer's union in Christ, with Christ, in Christ. We are joined to Christ in salvation. Christ is in us and we are in Christ. And the only way that we can get into Christ is to be baptized into Christ by faith. So to be baptized here is for us who have placed faith in Christ to be involved in everything that Christ did for our salvation. In His death, and His death and His resurrection, all of those things have implications for the believer, and to be baptized into Him is to be actively involved with Him. So on the cross, Christ dies, nailing the ordinances that are against us, and we who are in Christ by faith, baptized in Christ, are there on the cross with Him. Actually, He dies and we die with Him. Say amen. So, we are connected to everything Christ ever did for our salvation. And by being baptized into Christ, we participate with Christ in His obedient life, in His suffering, in His death, and in His resurrection. So everything that Christ did, by virtue of being in Christ, we also did with Him. And one day, we will participate in His heavenly exaltation. Say amen. So everyone who has truly been saved has died with Christ and have been cleansed from sin. But if this was simply water baptism is no guarantee of salvation. The salvation here that puts us in Christ, the baptism that puts us in Christ, that is a guarantee of salvation by faith. It is our personal connection to Christ and His saving works that we are baptized into. Amen? We are united to Him, and He died for us, and we died with Him. He rose for us, and we rose with Him. That is who we are. We are the children of God. We are in the family adopted by God. We are those who have been baptized into Christ so that His saving works are actually ours. And secondly, notice, not only have we been baptized into Christ, but we have put on Christ. That means that we are clothed with Christ. What does that mean? Well, you understand that all of our works are what? Filthy rags. You understand that if we stand before God in our sins without Christ, we stand before Him in putrid rags. Nothing. We stand naked before God with nothing to clothe ourselves with but filthy rags. But Paul says here that because you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ, which means that we have put on His perfect righteousness. Not only have our sins been taken from us, not only are our sins paid for by the death of Christ, not only have we been buried with Christ in our union with Christ, but we have been raised with Christ with the robe of righteousness that now clothes us. So when God sees us, He sees us in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? To have our sins removed. And to have the perfect righteousness of Christ imputed to us. So what does God see when He sees us? He sees sinless perfection because we are in Christ. Say amen. That's who I am. I am a sinless, perfect person, not in myself, but in Christ. That is the garments that we wear. We have this new life in Christ. To be a child of God by faith in Christ is to be baptized into the saving accomplishments of Christ. Christ and to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. What a glorious thing it is to be a child of God. Notice verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. Jew, Greek, bond, free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are what? All what? One. Where? In Christ Jesus. Now we just said, right? We have been baptized into Christ Jesus if we by faith have trusted in Him. And now it says, all of you that are in Christ are one. And there is no distinction in Christ. In Christ we are one. There is no racial distinction. There is no social class distinction. There is no sexual distinction. We are one in Christ. Say amen. Now, we live in a culture today in which there is being much made about distinction. They exist, right? They do exist. Distinctions do exist earthly. But what Paul is saying here is that in Christ, those distinctions that do exist don't matter. You with me? It does not matter if you are Jew or Greek. Say amen. Now, think about that for a minute. Because if you were a Jew, that would be upsetting because the Jews were God's chosen people. They thought that they were God's people by physical birth. They thought being a Jew meant something. Yes? Being a Gentile, if you heard that same thing, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, that would be exciting. That would be wonderful. Say amen. Because you are outside of the covenant of God. In Christ, whether you're Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. Whether you're white or black, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're slaves or you're not slaves. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter. Humanity makes those distinctions important. They're not. Say amen. God says they don't matter. The only thing that does matter is whether you are by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that matters. Have you been baptized into the saving work of Christ? Have you put on the righteousness of Christ? Have you been robed in His perfection? At the end of the day, that's the only distinction that matters. It won't matter when you stand before God whether you were Jew or Gentile. It will not matter when you stand before God whether you're white, black, yellow, or what. Say amen. It won't matter when you stand before God if you were a slave or you were a free man. It won't matter whether you were male or female. It won't matter. All that will matter is whether you are in Christ. Right? Everyone that belongs to Christ belongs to everyone else who belongs to Christ. Let me say that again so you can hear it. Everyone that belongs to Christ belongs to everyone else who belongs to Christ, because we are how many in Christ? We are one. If Ron can call God his father, then I can call him my brother. Say amen. And it would not matter who calls. If anyone can truly call God Father, then I can call Him my brother, regardless of race, class, or gender. Do not be deceived by what you watch and hear in the media and on social platforms. This whole Black Lives Matter and white privilege talk is not to unify, it is to divide. The divide that really matters is not race, nor class, nor sex, but the divide that really matters is those who are in Christ and those who are not. That is the divide that will last eternity. Say amen. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It doesn't matter how much money you earn. It doesn't matter whether you have a Y chromosome or not. Christ removes all those divisions in Him. Erasing history will not remove the divisions. Say amen. Only Christ can remove those divisions. So the church is the family of God, and in the family of God, there are no second-class children. Say amen. All are equal in Christ. Which means that we are all equally unable to save ourselves. We are all equally in need of the same cross. We are all equally in need of the same empty tomb. We are all in need of the same atoning death and the same bodily resurrection. We all need the same Christ. And it is Christ for all and all in Christ. Amen? In Christ, there is diversity, and yet there is unity. We are to treat one another in the church as brothers and sisters in Christ. Say amen. This, look at it, look around, this is your family. If you are in Jesus Christ. And whatever distinctions we may have, whatever differences we may have, whatever diversity we may have, we are one in Christ. Amen? Now, can I say something here since I have the opportunity? If things are good between you and your father, then I think things will be good between you and your father's children. Amen. Say amen. When things aren't good with the children, things are probably not good with the father. Say amen. So make sure we treat one another not as church members, not as friends, but as family. As family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't know about you guys, but I would fight for my brother. And if I treat you the same way, I'll fight for you. Say amen. Look at verse 29. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. I would hope that some of you would get that. If ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed. That was God saying, amen. And heirs according to the promise. Now here's what Paul says. This is what I think Paul is saying here, given all that he's already said. What you are is what you've always been and what you will always be. If ye be Christ right now, if you are the possession of Christ, if you are His possession by virtue of faith in Christ and being baptized in Christ and putting on Christ, say amen. If you are in Christ, one with Christ, a child of God, then ye are what? Abraham's seed. That's way back in what? Genesis 15. Way back there. So, isn't he saying, if you are Christ now, you were back then Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise, which is what? Future. So what you are now is what you have always been and what you will always be. That would make a Pentecostal get up and run. So this is not just about here and now. This is about eternity. Say amen. Who are you? Who are you? You are a child of God. You have been saved by being put in union with the work of Christ for your salvation. You have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. You are all one in Christ. We are in the family of God. That consists of brothers and sisters who have been saved by the same faith in the same Christ. You are the stars and you are the sand that God spoke of thousands of years before you were even born. We belong to the family that God began with Abraham and the one that He will have with him for all eternity. That's who we are. If somebody asks you, identify yourself. Ask them if they know anything about stars and sand. Because that's who I am. I am the star and I am the sand that God spoke about back in Genesis 15. I am in Christ and I will be with Christ forever. That's who I am. We are the property. We are the property of Christ. We belong to Him and we belong to one another and we belong to Abraham. And there is coming a day when we will inherit everything God has ever promised to give His children. Why is that important? Because the false teachers that had come into the church at Galatia were saying that the Galatians could not become the children of Abraham until they first became Jews. They had to be proselyted into the Jewish religion. They had to be circumcised. They had to take on the dietary laws. And Paul, against that teaching, says that they are the children of Abraham already, simply by coming to Christ in faith. What makes you a child of Abraham? You came to Christ in faith. That makes you the child of Abraham. How do I know that I'm one of those stars and some of that sand? Because I came to Christ by faith. That's who I am. And the only way you will ever find yourself is if you come to God in Christ. Because those in Christ know exactly who they are. We know exactly who we are. We know who our Father is. Because we're the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We know who our siblings are. We know who our family is. We know who our brothers and sisters are, all in God's family. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, that is who you are. And who you are today is what you have been, always been, and what you will always be. Amen. Say amen.